Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
All right. Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me on the phone this morning is Janice Chumley and Casey, is it Matney? You'll have to correct me if I said that wrong, from the Kenai Peninsula Cooperative Extension Service. I might have said that wrong, too. Good morning, Janice and Casey. Thanks for being here.
Good morning. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah. Did I get the name and the titles correct?
Yeah, no worries. You said it all correctly.
Okay. All right. Well, this morning we are going to talk about an upcoming conference, one of the biggest agriculture conferences that happens in Alaska, the Sustainable Ag Research Education Conference that's happening in a couple weeks. Before we jump into all those details, I always like to learn a little bit more about my guests as we start. So, Janice, we're going to start with you. Can you please tell us your connection to Alaska and how you got involved in this realm of Alaska agriculture?
Well, I have had the pleasure of working for the Cooperative Extension Service here on the Kenai Peninsula for, I started as a volunteer and to be employed by them for up to 20 years. And through that connection, I have had the pleasure of working with agriculture both large and small across the state. And I find that it is just fascinating, the ideas that people come up with for what they want to grow, what they can grow, for marketing, any kind of pest pressure that they've come up with, which is what I'm employed as, is an integrated pest management person.
Right, right.
So it's been really interesting.
And Janice, are you from Alaska?
No, I am not. I came up on vacation in 1979, and I haven't left yet.
Awesome. And did you always want to be involved in cooperative extension or agriculture in this way? Is this something that you were born into or fell into? How'd that happen?
Actually, no. Oddly enough, I was born in a very large city in the Midwest, and as soon as I was legally able to leave, I did, because I always felt like I did not want to ever be in a city and didn't belong there, and I was always, even as a little kid, had my hands in the dirt.
Oh, very good. Well, I would say Alaska is very lucky to have you. You've always been such a champion for agriculture education down there on the peninsula, and I'm glad you're there, so thank you for that.
Thank you.
Casey, what's your story? How'd you get here, and how'd you get connected with Alaska agriculture?
Well, to be honest, I was working as an extension specialist for Colorado State University, and I had been there for 5 years, and I was on one of the leadership roles to try and hire somebody in one of the counties. And when I went to go make sure the job was posted, I noticed there was a position open on the Kenai. I told my wife, who is Alaska Native, and believe it or not, about 5 minutes after I told her, she goes, "Well, you're applying." So, roundabout, in a short, matter of time, I lucked out and I got up here, and I've been working for the Cooperative Extension Service since 2015.
Okay, very good. And where was home for you before? You said Colorado?
I worked in Colorado for 5 years, but I'm actually from Oregon.
Okay, right.
I grew up in an area between the Sandy River and the Columbia River near Troutdale. And my background was in fish and wildlife to start, actually, and then it moved to rangeland ecology and grazing and livestock.
Okay, very good. Well, I will say it again that Alaska is happy to have you, and we're glad that you're there at the Cooperative Extension Service. So tell us about what is coming up 2 weeks from now, this Sustainable Ag Research Education Conference. Casey, I'll start with you. Where is it going to be? What's it all about? Let's just start throwing details out, and I know I'll have lots of questions.
Well, Amy, as you know, the Sustainable Agriculture Conference has been going on for a number of years. This marks the 14th annual year that it's been offered. And I don't know, I got assigned the role of being the state coordinator for Western SARE here a little over a year ago. And so I thought, well, let's go really big. Let's do what we can. And so, it starts on November 4th with a pre-conference workshop. That's going to be looking at produce safety. Then for the next 3 days, we are covering a variety of topics. We actually have 73 different people presenting.
Oh, my word.
On over 80 different presentations. A lot of stuff. And if you want, I can briefly go over the topics, if that's all right with you.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's jump in. I was spending some time with the agenda today, checking out all the different opportunities, and I knew it was a lot, but I had no idea there were 73 different presentations.
There is something for everyone this year.
That's pretty cool. You know, it used to be Cooperative Extension and various other organizations in Alaska would offer multiple different conferences every winter. And, you know, we'd all have to travel to different locations multiple times, et cetera. But I kind of like this idea with the SARE conference that we're all going to be in one place for 3 days and just knock it all out of the park while we're there.
Yeah. I'm guessing I might be tired by the end of it. It starts out for the actual conference on Monday, November 5th, and in the morning we have a plenary session. And so we have a bunch of statewide updates. It runs the gamut from the Alaska Division of Agriculture all the way to the Alaska Plant Materials Center, Cooperative Extension, Alaska Farm Bureau, the Ag Statistics for the state from the National Ag Statistics Service, and we roll on into the afternoon having a technical session on Alaska climate and agriculture with Season Extension. So we've actually got Dr. Martin Stufer, director of the Alaska Climate Research Center. He's going to be talking about Alaska climate and ENSO effects.
Okay.
And if any of you have noticed that we've been having kind of a warm fall this year, and so that might have some effects on our agriculture.
Shh, don't jinx it, Casey. I'm really enjoying this fall that we're having.
Yeah, it's been very nice. So we'll be talking about season extension, too, and we have a lot of presenters going on. We've got three different rooms with presentations going on. So we've got everything from regular agriculture to sustainable ag on small acreage. We've got Alaska peonies, and we also have Alaska cut flowers. So then we go on to Tuesday, November 6th, and in the morning we have a symposium on ag product distribution, marketing, and advertising. And so we have quite a few different folks. We've got Sarah Lewis talking about Wild Kitchen Walks from Juneau. We've got Arctic Harvest Deliveries with Kyla Byers.
Yeah.
Food Journalism in Alaska with Jessica Sugelmeyer. A Look at Alaska from Scratch with Maya Wilson. And we're looking at also the Alaska Grown Consumer app with Jennifer Castro.
Yeah.
And we got the National Honeybee Survey information from that, from APHIS.
First year ever Alaska participated in the national survey in 2018. Woohoo!
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what those numbers are. You know, the honeybee, I don't know if it's still considered a crisis, but it's certainly a hot topic, the pollinator issue, so that'll be interesting to hear from them.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that, and also native Alaskan pollinators.
Okay.
And then we have another session that morning with livestock production in the Great Land. And so we talk about feed needs for livestock, using herd dogs for sheep production, and a variety of other topics, including wild and domestic sheep in Alaska and updates on research and resolution.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I wonder if that, I was hoping that would be on the agenda. I just saw some more information today put out by the Farm Bureau about that potential wild sheep and goat issue and involving the Chugach National Forest, I think, and them presenting some limitations to domestic sheep and goats being allowed on the national forest. Anyway, I'm sure that'll be a hot one to hear the update from them.
Yeah, it may not be as hot for listening to it, but it definitely is a hot topic for sure.
Yeah.
The next thing we'll be doing too that morning is also energy and agriculture. And so we'll be looking at producing biochar for both heat and then also using it for amendments for soil.
Okay.
In the afternoon, we've got ag production, distribution, marketing, advertising continuing, and we've got the Bogard Food Hub as well as Robbie Mixon from the Food Farmers Market and Food Hub here on the Kenai Peninsula.
Very good. Well, before we jump into the rest of Tuesday and Wednesday morning, I want to remind folks that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me this morning are Janice Chumley and Casey from the Kenai Peninsula Cooperative Extension Service office, and we're talking about the upcoming SARE conference and all that it has to offer for producers, enthusiasts, those thinking about getting into agriculture production. There's clearly something for everyone at this conference, and yeah, so let's continue. Where are we at on the agenda?
Yeah, so we're still just the beginning of Tuesday morning, and so we're going to be talking about using agritourism on farms, so how farm tours work. We're going to be speaking with Margaret Assett. Then actually, Amy, you'll be talking.
What? No.
Well, you didn't realize that.
No, I did. Yeah, I did. I'm excited to be there.
And we'll follow that with a little bit about cottage foods and how those could be utilized to add to the farm industry. And then also, we have another session because the theme of this year's conference is Farming Alaska from Peak to Coast.
Okay.
And so we have a whole session on opportunities in mariculture and aquatic farming.
Oh, good.
We've got history of seaweed mariculture research in Alaska, and then we've got Blue Evolution's journey to sustainable seaweed mariculture in Alaska. And then we've got some of our industry folks, because we're going to talk about insights into shellfish and aquatic plant farming, and then leasing in the aquatic farm program.
Oh, very good.
So if folks are interested in that, they'll have lots of information there, and hopefully we can get some more people doing that sort of thing.
Yeah. You said Blue Evolution, that's a seaweed production company?
They are. They're located in Kodiak, and then also down in the west.
Very good.
California.
I think that's actually a college roommate of mine. I'll have to double check, but a buddy of mine has been involved in that, trying to get it going, and I think that might be his company, so that'll be great to see him.
Oh, that's a small world.
It certainly is, yeah.
And then we continue into the afternoon with some more livestock presentations. We've got reindeer husbandry, using pigs to help prepare land for agriculture, and then I'll give a presentation on Alaska forages for livestock and seasonal trends.
Okay.
And then we also have another energy and agriculture talk, talking about how you use electricity off-grid and considerations for water transfer and light.
So, Janice, when these sessions are happening, are folks going to have to make choices as to which session to go to, or is there going to be opportunity to see all the different presentations, or do we have to pick and choose while we're there?
You will have to do some picking and choosing because
okay.
There are concurrent sessions going on. It is split up so that there's two opportunities in the morning or in the afternoon, and when we're talking about the energy session, those are in different locations, actually. So the main conference is being held at the BP Energy Center, and they'll be in different rooms and different opportunities to hear things that might get your interest going, but there will also be the pre-conference workshops on the food safety. That's going to be in a different location,
okay.
As well as the energy sessions. So there, while it sounds like there's a lot going on, it's in different locations. And really, I think that it provides people the opportunity to, instead of sitting through something that they maybe didn't have a lot of interest in, picking something that they have a lot of interest in for the first time in one of these conferences. So I think it'll be really well received.
Yeah, I agree. Looking forward to it. Not looking forward to having to pick and choose, but it sounds like there's going to be, again, something for everybody and lots of choices for folks.
Well, I know that's going to be a tough one because personally I think that the seaweed and mariculture session this is the first time we've ever approached that as a sustainable opportunity for growing things. And with more and more people utilizing seaweeds for not only food purposes but for fertilizer, it certainly opens up a whole nother venue of sustainable agriculture.
Absolutely.
It happens to be in the ocean.
I wonder if they'll have samples, taste tests.
Ooh, that'd be fun, wouldn't it?
So what about Wednesday, Casey?
So on Wednesday, we've got a symposium on integrated pest management for Alaska. So we're going to be talking about everything from pathogen testing for potato tissue cultures at the PMC, which is the Plant Material Center, to talking about invasive plants, how do people become a certified applicator for pesticides, product registration and special local needs, as well as a talk about parasites in our Alaskan livestock.
Okay.
Dr. Lisa Lund over at UAF has been doing a 3-year study looking at parasite levels in livestock and what parasites there are. So she'll be presenting that information.
Yeah, that's good. You know, this... this SARE conference in the years past has often been kind of the primary outlet for those agriculture researchers and the scientists that are working at the universities. This is kind of their primary outlet to share their information, share their research, tell people about what they've been doing. So it's always fun to have them on the agenda and hear about what they've been doing.
Yeah, and that's the goal, is to try and get as much information out to the public as possible.
Yeah, good.
And then we also have on Wednesday morning a presentation on agriculture in remote and rural Alaska communities. This session is going to be looking at local food challenge, growing food in Igigig, village gardening in Arctic Alaska, and then we'll be talking with Tyonic and their farm, as well as a presentation on the Kodiak Village Farms.
Very good.
Published. And then we have two other things going on. We also have a technical session on increasing access to lands for agriculture. So we talked about state land sales and how to obtain leases and permits. And then how do you obtain financing to do a real estate purchase for ag?
Yep.
As well as NRCS EQIP programs. And then we'll have AgriLogic up here talking about crop insurance education.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that the state and loan officers will be there regarding land sales and then financing, because often those are considered two of the biggest barriers to getting into farming in Alaska, is access to land and access to capital. So hopefully we can nullify some of those myths that there, A, isn't land available, or B, no one will lend to folks to get involved in farming. So I'm glad that they'll be there.
Yeah, and it's really hopeful for me to get more people using the Farm Service Agency as a potential option for not only diversifying their operation, but also gaining that access to land.
Yep, absolutely.
And for the symposium that's going on that morning, we're also having the Alaska Rhodiola Grower and Research Symposium.
Okay.
And so we're going to be talking about everything from processing rhodiola to what's going on with their use. And then how do you get started with financing, and what kind of crops are we looking at?
Very good. We had Petra on the show a couple of months ago to give us an update about the rhodiola industry in Alaska. So that's exciting that they'll be there getting more folks involved, because, boy, I don't remember the numbers, but there's I hate to use that term like guaranteed market, but it certainly sounds like there are buyers out there that want to buy as much Alaska rhodiola as they can get their hands on.
Yeah, I think there is. The market is growing, and I think that we have not reached the capacity yet, so it's a good thing to be getting into.
Yeah.
Other things going on, we've got in the afternoon, we've got a technical session on perspectives in Alaska soil health, the Natural Resources Conservation Service, as well as some other entities that fund a lot of soil health research, and so we'll have four or five different studies that have been done across the state that will be covered, and what are the implications of those studies.
Very good. One of my favorite hot topics, of course, with Farmland Trust, that's what we're trying to do, is save the soil. And people always look at me with this kind of funny look, thinking, well, Alaska's so vast and there's so much acreage available, why do you have to lock up any of it? But not all soil is the same. And so it'll be good to hear from them about what's going on with their research.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Actually, we're going to be talking about some of the research that we've been doing here on the Kenai. So
okay, good.
It's an opportunity for that.
Kodiak,
as well as the Alaska Plant Materials Center.
Good.
So the other things going on in the afternoon on Wednesday include youth and agriculture. So we're going to have our executive director of the Alaska FFA Association talking about youth and ag here in Alaska. How do we grow youth and ag? We'll also be having some youth programming updates from the Mat-Su Copper River District area for 4-H. As well as Juneau, and then the Kenai, and then Mel Sykes from the our Fairbanks Soil and Water Conservation District will be talking about ag in the classroom and how do we get more teachers to take ag to the classroom.
Perfect. I love it. Quick reminder to folks again that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me this morning from the Cooperative Extension office down on the Kenai are Casey Matney and Janice Chumley. We've been talking about the SARE conference that's coming up in about 2 weeks from now, right? I'm not good at math, but I think I just booked my hotel. It's 2 weeks from now, right?
2 weeks, it seems just about right.
Yeah. Yeah. So if we've covered most everything that's on the agenda, let's give folks some details about how they can find out more, where they need to go to get registered, what's the costs, are there any scholarships available, all that.
Yep. So, for the cost, the early bird registration, which is available through October 28th, is $125 for all of the days of the conference.
Wow, that's a heck of a deal for 3 days worth of 73 presentations.
Yeah, so you can get access to all of those. And then if you're only wanting to do 1 day, If you register by October 28th, it's only $50 for one day.
Okay. Does that include lunch, Casey?
That does not include lunch. This year, we've been trying to make sure that people have more time for lunch, and then they're able to network and meet with people. So actually giving a two-hour break during the middle of the day for lunch.
Oh, okay. I like it. Well, that would be a great opportunity for people to utilize that Alaska-grown restaurant app, and they can look on their phone and see which restaurants within walking distance of the BP Energy Center utilize Alaska-grown products, right?
Yeah, and there is quite a few different places people can go right there from Midtown.
Absolutely.
And looking at the calendar, if you register after October 29th, the cost only increases by $25. So it would be $150 for all 3 days or $75 for one day.
Still an incredible value. I think that that's probably the same price, if not less, than we paid 10 years ago when I attended my first air conference.
I do think that, you know, in order to have such a diverse conference and to be able to keep the cost down so that people can afford to attend, you might have to just use that Alaska-grown app and find your own lunch. So it makes it affordable for people, whether they want to do one day or they want to do all 3 days.
Yeah.
And so if people want to find out more information, we do have a registration link. I can give you that. Now, it's just bit.ly/AKAGconference14.
Okay.
And if they use that link, they can go there, or they can just go into their Google or Bing or whatever search engine they want to and type in 14th Annual Sustainable Ag Conference, Alaska.
Yep.
It'll take them right there.
Yep, I found it this morning pretty easily. I tested the Google search. I think I put in UAF CES SARE 2018, and it got me there right quick. It was a fairly simple registration process, not too difficult to understand, and I was able to find the hotel links. Maybe we could mention that. I think the group reservation has passed, but there still are rooms available at quite a few of the local hotels right there around the BP Energy Center.
Yes, and so, you know, the presentations will be taking place at the BP Energy Center. That's where most of them will take place. We'll also be utilizing the Spring Hill Suites Anchorage Lake Hotel, and that's over by the...
University Lake?
Yep, University Lake. It's over by A&MC. So we're using those two locations, and so we do have made sure that we have places available for people to have a room at the Residence Inn, which is right next to the BP Energy Center, Town Place Suites, which is kind of just across the highway there.
Yep.
And then we also have both of the Spring Hill Suites, the one in Midtown there, and then also the one at the University Lake.
Yeah, I think the Residence Inn is sold out, just as an FYI, because I couldn't get a room there today.
Yeah, walking distance really is a big draw. I can understand why.
Yeah, yep. So, Casey, why don't you give that website one more time where people can go to find all of the registration and conference information?
Yeah, it's bit.ly/AKAGconference14.
Okay, very good. And we're talking pre-conference workshops Sunday the 4th, and then main conference Monday the 5th, Tuesday the 6th, and Wednesday the 7th, right?
That's
and then
correct.
Is there a post-conference workshop this year?
There is. It's the Ag in the Classroom workshop. So if there are teachers or other types of educators or just people interested in trying to get more agriculture into their school curriculum. It could even actually be for homeschoolers.
Oh, okay.
You could meet there, and it'll be on November 8th, which I believe is a Thursday.
Yep. Is that a full-day workshop for teachers and folks?
It is. It's a full day.
And probably offering curriculum education units or whatever those little credits are called?
There aren't any credits for the one day. Usually we do that for the two-day workshop, but the pre-conference and post-conference for registering for those are both free.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great. Great opportunity for folks to learn more, engage with their peers, network, et cetera, at no cost. So let's talk about that a little bit. How are you able to keep costs so low this year? Is this a sponsored conference, or is there anything about that you want to mention?
Yeah, so, you know, the whole reason we have this is because it's supported by Western SARE, which is the Western Sustainable Agriculture Research and Education Program, and they fund grants, and that's through the USDA.
Okay.
So every state has the opportunity to apply, and so Alaska applies And some states apply it to mini grants, and so people can apply and get different types of little grants and do different types of research. Alaska, we use it to help put on this conference. And so part of the conference is funded through that grant. The other part of it is through the registration fees that we gather from people attending.
Okay, very good. You know, one thing I probably should have called you about this and not be using up Ag Matters time to ask, but is there a tabling opportunity for Farmland Trust or other organizations that are going to be at the conference?
We do have a very small area.
Okay.
We had actually only four half tables to utilize for that, and we've kind of assigned those already. But
Okay. We
have some area there where people can bring in promotion materials, and if people have something that's freestanding, that's perhaps on like an easel or a different display, or a little podium display, we can bring those in, or if we have a banner. There's room for that, but this year, because of the venue choice to try and save costs, that's how we're actually able to do it. We didn't have a larger conference space with tables.
Okay, very good. That's why I didn't notice that on the registration. All right, good. Well, what else? Is there anything else you want to tell people, or if you want to mention a certain workshop that you're excited to see, or any other highlights that you want to throw out before we wrap up the show this morning?
I would just like folks to consider the fact that there are people that do high tunnel production or honeybees. Maya Wilson, who is one of the people that actually thinks about how to use all this great produce that we have and is getting to be really well known, author of a brand new cookbook, will talk about why it is important to her to be able to access Alaskan local produce and all the great things to do with it. It's not just the marketing and all the research that goes into it, but you know, how it gets delivered and who is the target for utilizing this. You know, the food hubs as well as the produce safety, all of this plays a big role in sustainable ag, and I'm thinking that it's, you know, it's really an exciting opportunity. For my own self, I'm just going to go on about the fact that we were able to participate in the National Honeybee Survey. This is through the University of Maryland, and it's the first time that Alaskan beekeepers had folks come and they surveyed specific commercial hives and get great information on hive health. They test for pesticide loads as well as mites and many other things that affect our pollinators. So to me, it's pretty exciting, and I'm really looking forward to hearing the results from that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, I mean, 73 different presenters, and I can't remember the number of presentations you said, Casey, but it's just an incredible opportunity to get amongst the who's who of agriculture production, research, education, outreach, all of the above under one roof. So I appreciate you guys taking the time to be on the show with me this morning, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Well, thank you, Amy, and thank you for having us.
You bet. Have a great day.
Thanks much. Bye.
Been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit, of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.